There it is again. We're back. Hey, what if your customers lined up to buy before you ever asked for the sale? What if you were that magnetic? Ramon Ray talks in The Celebrity CEO about being a magnetic personal brand that connects community, turns your fans into customers and into revenue and all that. That's what we're getting into today. You know, I always like the music at the beginning of our show. It's recorded, made for me. But this morning I've been listening to faster music. And as I'm getting ready and doing stuff, like I had on this higher beat house music going on around the house in the studio. And now this feels really slow to me. hey, everybody. Bill Gallagher, scaling coach and host of the Scaling Up Business Podcast. Come to you every week with something to do with growing your business and the leadership required to get you there. So we help you with the strategy, the people, the execution, the cash. We have more than 640 shows now, I think, at scalingcoach.com or wherever you're getting this, right? So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Twitter, YouTube, etc. We send it out everywhere. So like and subscribe wherever you are. Turn on your notifications. Get them every week. And if you want to do one of our monthly workshops on scaling up, start to dive into it, get a little more personal interaction with me and others in beginning the scaling up journey, go to scalingcoach.com where you'll find info on our workshops and our tools and stuff like that, plus all the shows all there. So get it wherever you are now or go to scalingcoach.com and you'll get all that more. All right, listen, our guest today is Ramon Ray. You know, for a beginning for me, he was Raymond, but he's Ramon. You should know. Five-time serial entrepreneur, built and sold three companies. He's founder of Smart Hustle Media, entrepreneur in residence, Oracle NetSuite, author of five books. Celebrity CEO is kind of our focus for today. He's interviewed Barack Obama in the White House for Google Hangout, and he shared stages with people like Simon Sinek, Seth Godin, Gary Vee, Damon John. You may have heard of some of those folks. Anyway, Raymond, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much, Bill. And thanks for having me with you today. I'm excited to be here. I love your music. I love the Scaling Coach website. Love everything you bring. I even love your glasses. It looks very smart and snazzy. James Bondish, smart and friendly person who is very smart type. So thank you, Bill, for having me. Glad to be here on your show.
Okay, here's a funny side since Tell you me. Brought it up. I have been at some conferences events recently where I was walking around without the glasses on. Because in truth, right, the glasses are now, like I had laser on my eyes, so I can see distance, but I can't read because I'm old, right? Mm-hmm. So now I wear glasses anytime I'm on screen or on camera because I need them to see up close. Yes. I can't read the screen in front of my face or even sometimes my watch, right, without the glasses. But I don't really need them in distance. So I can walk around in a crowd without the glasses on. And people are like, I feel like I know you from somewhere. Right. And I'm like, did this help? And I put on the glasses. They're like, oh, yeah, the scaling thing.
That's right. Glasses. Sometimes I take my glasses off, Bill, or I, you know, do photo shoots or whatever. I just don't, you know, I'm wearing them much of my life. So I have little black marks there. But it's part of me. So I get you. So me, the Ramon Ray that people know, it's my glasses on. So. But it looks good. Yeah. It fits you well.
You have a ton of followers online and I think people know you have just a fantastic like presence. You have an energy, right? And you let it out. And it's very clear, like you let it out in service of a message, in service of human beings, of being a contribution of a certain kind of life. But imagine that you woke up tomorrow and every trace of your online footprint, all your followers, your videos, your articles was gone.
Wow.
But you had your phone and you got $100 in cash.
Okay.
What would you do in the next 24 hours to start rebuilding Ramon Ray, celebrity CEO from zero? What's your opening?
I would probably call two or three of my closest friends and ask them how I could help build their businesses for a fast path to cash. Like say, Bill, you know, if that happened to me, I'd say, Bill, listen, I've lost everything. Can I work with you, Bill, for 3 to 6 months to build what you're doing, build scaling coach? Can I do that? Let's assume you'd say, yes, sure. You want to work with me, do this. And then I'd get cash, get back on my feet, and I'd be open and say, hey, listen, let me build it. And then as I get back on my feet, I'll return that by maybe we do a JV. So that's, since you asked me the question, something like that I do to help others who I know who already established, since I have nothing and they trust me. And then I'd work my way back up. And then it would be, hey, I'm Ramon Ray. And also, if you're looking for great coaching, see scalingcoach.com. So that's what I would do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You know, I love the whole, like the fundamental life philosophy behind that, right? Mm-hmm. Be, create value, be of service, be of contribution, not I'm going to pose in the nude and post that on Instagram.
Well, then I'd have too many followers. I would crash the servers, Bill.
You would break the internet, right? For sure. As we all throw our phones in the sea. There's something cool about that. Like, I'm going to go be a contribution. I'm going to create some value for someone. And then I'm going to leverage that and build on that and like that, like do something good in the world. And I think, like, when I think about an entrepreneur starting out, a new coach joining our world, that kind of thing, I'm like, we got to work with what you already have. What's your existing network? Who loves you already? Who have you worked with? Who trusts you? Yes. Right? Let's go and expand that into this new realm. So not like leave that behind and go into a new world, but bring that with you. Right.
And doesn't that make sense, Bill? Like, you, I don't know if you watched the, not Undercover Boss, but the ones where they had some of the celebrity people had to start from scratch with that very thing, $100 in a truck, I think, or something, Discovery Channel or something. But that's what they kind of did. They'd go to the church, start a ground. Hey, listen, I have nothing. If I help lead your choir, could you just feed me and give me a bed? You know, and they work their way up. They're like, hey, restaurant owner, I notice you're down servers. Why don't I lead your server team for 6 months, but can you feed me? Can you pay me just a little bit and let me sleep somewhere? Then they started from scratch. So,
well, we're going to, as we do, we're going to share some of the stories that brought you here and that lead to the book. And then we'll talk about it at length. But I think I've had many friends who have served in both political parties in the White House, right? Mm-hmm. For one president or another on both sides of things. And I've only visited the West Wing once during the Obama administration. I had some friends who served several terms with him, and I even coached one of the people in the staff some years ago. So I'd love to hear how you beat out everybody and got to grill President Obama and tell us that story.
Sure, absolutely. Google, and this would be in his first presidency, I guess my dates are fuzzy, but you can connect the dots. Whenever Google Hangouts was gaining in popularity and I guess trying to beat Skype that era. And I'm sure there were some, as you know, Bill, some, you know, joint venture or some a partnership between the White House or the government and Google. And they had a major contest across the USA. It's probably still online somewhere, people to Google or AI it, whatever we call it nowadays. And it's my understanding that I have it in my memory, my head for some reason, that about 300,000 people applied for this kind of contest to interview President Obama. And it wasn't really a contest because you had to be vetted and go through different layers of things, not security, but I guess they wanted to have the right person, right? And so I applied, and lo and behold, I get a call, maybe an email comes through, hey, a producer of this experience with the president wants to interview. That was layer one. So they asked my politics, this, that, and the other. I went to level two, grilled again and again. In my feeling, Bill, you know, having been some years later and you know, knowing a little bit about production, they probably wanted a mix. What's the question? Is this going to be the right question, weighing this against what other people have already asked him? Number two, kind of, does he have the energy? You know, we want a mix of boring people, interesting people, smart people, whatever kind of, you know, a nice mix of people and that. So lo and behold, I was picked, and I remember it. I think, Bill, this would have been when ISDN lines, still the dial-up modem-ish era, you know, that kind of time frame. We didn't have even the strong Wi-Fi and all that we had today. So I had to move my couch around, move my chair around, stacks of books and my video camera, all these things. And I just sat still. I can't shake any of this so it doesn't fall. And lo and behold, there's President Barack Obama. Hey, Ramon. And that's still on YouTube to this day.
That's so awesome. You know, it's a powerful experience. Mm-hmm. Whatever your political party of persuasion, whatever group that you favor, whoever you've idolized, it's a powerful, powerful thing. I have a very dear friend who worked for Reagan on his traveling team and helped set up events. And like, it's shaped her life. You know, she meets people like the Pope, John Paul, and Lech Walesa, and, you know, like major world figures and that kind of thing. And so much happens in that environment. I have people who served in the Bush White House, and I visited during the Obama years as well. It's such a, it's like takes everything up to a notch. Yes. I went to many schools growing up, and one of the schools I went to was Punahou in Hawaii, where Obama went, and he was about 2 years ahead of me. And to be honest, I wish I remembered him. I wish, like, just one of many faces, you know,
Who I remember outside of who you knew. 2 years kind of is a lot when you're in that young. Right?
Yeah. And actually, he would have been in a different part of campus at that
right.
point.
Right.
He would have been in the ninth grade. I was in the seventh grade. So he'd have been in a different part. Who I remember from that year, speaking of celebrity, and who I sat next to all day one day in the taping of a TV TV sports special, was Bruce Jenner.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Caitlin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he was a major, like a, you know, it was like CBS World of Sports or ABC Sports or something like that, and they had the group of like the track team sitting around him while he was on camera to create a little color. And so you've built a whole bunch of different businesses. Talk about being a builder and seller of business. Tell us about, I don't know, smallbusinesstech.com and like that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'd love to. And if I wanted to go back to that thing about the person who, you know, who was, you know, the advanced team are helping that. Those are such fun jobs. You get to be behind the scenes at, and I, you know, when I worked at the United Nations for a period of time, I wasn't doing that, but every year I would volunteer for like the protocol and, you know, the person you were like the human path, like if Bill wanted to come to the White House, you know, and it was just fun just to be just a few days. It wasn't my day job, but a few days to be behind the scenes, like say I'm working with you, Bill. Wow, I get to be the advance and know what is he going to eat? Where's he going to use the bathroom? Where's he going to go? Are the cameras on the right way? And then finally, President Bill comes in. You know, so it's fun doing those things, behind the scene things.
Well, you know, let's say on that, because it goes to the celebrity topic and building your thing. One of the times I went to study and learn from somebody who spoke on bigger stages than me. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to learn from you. And she said, okay, so, and it wasn't that huge of an event. I want to say it was about 1,000 people but it was several days, right? So holding attention from 1,000 people for several days is a big deal.
It is.
And she's like, here's what I want you to do. Your job is just to manage me in the background. So you carry my lipstick.
That's right.
You will help intercede when everybody wants to talk to me and I need to get to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You will help, like, just know, think about what I'm dealing with and help me to take care of myself so that I could just be with people.
That's right.
And I'm like, oh, really fascinating. And then at the end, she's like, what did you notice? You know, like, what did you learn just by working next to me? How did you level up? And, and I, it's funny, I would say, even thinking back to, I don't remember what I said in the moment, but I do remember, like with time, two things. One is to be generous, to give to others, you also have to take care of yourself, right? Like put on your own oxygen mask first. So, you know, if I'm going to speak the next day, I have to eat well, sleep well. I have to do things that make me feel not stingy, that make me feel generous, that, you know, like, okay, I'm taken care of. I'm ready to give, you know? And when I'm done, I also have to do things to like restore, like, okay, I need some me time now. I just been generous.
Yes. That is so true. You're right. If you don't do it, you can't, you know, doesn't, you know, this morning, right? I had a good breakfast, good, my daily routines and stretched and worked. I don't think I worked out yet. I forgot about that, but I did stretch. And so here I am. But
the other thing I noticed in that was like, you don't connect to 1,000 people.
Correct.
You connect to one at a time. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice this when somebody like Tony Robbins does this powerfully, because he'll go pretty emotional with somebody. He'll be, you know, this whole room, and then he picks one person. He talks to them. He's like, how long has this been going on? Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. He speaks in a way that includes everyone, right? Mm-hmm. That welcomes everyone, but it's an intimate conversation. I'm talking to you in your seat with what you're dealing with. Like, how long have you carried this pain, right? And that that's a really powerful lesson, right? Like you're both speaking to everyone, but really one of you got to pick and connect with one person. Yeah. It's not like
correct. No, you're right. And then, as you know, as a speaker and et cetera, that's the best way to make the connection. And I will, you answer the question you asked me about selling to companies, but I think it also, that is the one key of it, was making a connection. You know, again, you and I, we reach thousands of people. We, you know, we serve people and have these email lists and social. It's all important. And I'm grateful for that. But I think, Bill, this is important too, that one-to-one, getting to know Bill just a bit better. Bill getting to know Ramon just a bit better. You build relationships, and ideally there's something of value. And I say, hey, Bill, I'd like to buy that from you, or Bill, or I say, Bill, can I buy it from you? Or we do something bigger together transactionally that benefits us both. So I can dive into those now if you like, but thank you for letting me go back a bit on the serving other part.
No, I think it's awesome. Like, look, we're just having a conversation and connecting the dots around, loosely around a topic, right? In this case, your book. But I think there's so much, like, it's so human. When I went to visit, we took our son and his friend at the time and went to tour the West Wing. And my sponsor host had this very highfalutin policy job, and he was the son of my mentor for a long time. And I'm like, so what does that mean? What do you actually do? And he's like, listen, I figure out how to get people in and out of the White House and how to take care of people, mostly from, you know, the House and Senate.
Right.
And, and he's like, so that means, like, maybe I'm taking this senator through this part, and I know that we have this other person who's in a public spat with right now, or he's got a personal beat. So I will work to make sure that they don't have to make eye contact, or if they do, that they make eye contact, or if the opposing party's, you know, speaker or whatever has his high school friends who are in town, we'll take them to do that, because we don't need to make it any worse than it already is. And he said the biggest lesson of all of this is that it's human beings, right? Mm-hmm. And human beings have egos and feelings, and like, and we're just trying to make it as smooth as possible.
Yes. Yes.
Not make it any worse than it already is. No,
that is so true. That is so true.
Human beings, and they're really human issues, right?
Yeah. One of my keynote talks is human connections in a digital world. Even though I talk about AI and tech and all those cool things, sure, but I find that resonates with people, just to talk about the humanity that we're all around, for sure.
So, building and selling companies.
Sure. Yep.
What's the celebrity CEO have to do with any of that? Tell us your stories.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the three companies that I sold, one was smallbiztechnology.com. The other one was Small Business Summit. And the most recent one, I think it was the most recent, was smarthustle.com. And all these were niche media companies. And for the sake of those listening, you know, we see on the front covers of the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, CNBC, billion-dollar, multi-million-dollar transactions. And I like to tell people, these were not that. I built brands and companies of hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's my specialty, what I do. And I've done it successfully, sold three of them. So smallbiztechnology.com was a blog, in essence. It was media, podcast, and other things, but a blog in essence that grew and had thousands and thousands of page views, thousands and thousands of visitors. And somebody else said, hey, Ramon, we can take this and grow it bigger. And they have. It still exists today. You can go, I don't own it, but you can go to the domain, smallbiztechnology.com. It's still alive and running quite well. And so that was one thing I sold, smallbiztechnology.com, after just buying the domain and growing it. Then the second was my event business called the Small Business Summit. Shout out to my partner at the time. Her name was Marion Banker. And just to give the visual for those listening or, you know, or watching, she was a thin white woman. And I'm this thin, you know, handsome black guy. And she was older by, I hope she's not listening, I'd say, Bill, 10, 20 years, maybe, older woman, you know, wizened in her years. But we made such a great team. She was the, she had an accounting background. She was more methodical, more cautious, more thoughtful. I was the let's race forward, the marketing guy. Let's have sparkles, metaphorically, as it were. You know, that was my specialty. And I was good at selling. So we made a good team, because I'd bring in the money, kind of like mama and daddy or something, or a good partnership. I'd make the sales, and she would cautiously, we worked together to grow it. So we did a big event in New York City for maybe 10 years or so called Small Business Summit. And I sold that to a fellow blogger who was doing events as well. And then the third one was smarthustle.com, and that was recently. I started that domain in 2015, did a number of events around that brand, podcast, you know, same playbook, right? My specialty is kind of media. And then Zen Business, which some of your audience may know, Mark Cuban sits on the board of that company. They kind of, nothing is blind, you know, nothing is cold call per se. They knew me and, you know, I'm in the media space, but somebody reached out and said, hey, Ramon, we like what you're doing and we want to do this. So we can either just do it ourselves, which will take us some time and, you know, but we can do it ourselves. This was way before AI was popular, and or we can just buy you out. And I said, great, send me some good money and it's all yours. They did. So those are my three exits: smarthustle.com, smallbiztechnology.com, and Small Business Summit.
You know, it's funny how like there could be value in any number of different ways. I helped somebody, somebody buy a domain name years ago, and they were not doing anything with it. It was like a hobby thing, but it ended up selling for, you know, quite a bit, not quite retirement money, but very significant, like life-changing money for this person. Right. So value could show up in a lot of different ways. But I think the other thing that strikes me about that is like the importance of knowing your part and finding, not finding more characters like yourself, but contrasting partners, both from a structural technical standpoint, like who does what, but also like from who are the players in this scene, right? Like let's not all have carbon copies. And I time and again, when you talk to entrepreneurs, you're like, I just need to clone myself.
Yes.
Like, that's the worst idea I've ever heard. And I hear it all the time. I need to clone myself. No, you don't. You need to find complementary people, right? We don't want to find another like you. You'd clash with yourself.
Exactly. That you would. You'd be arguing with yourself all day. But you're right, Bill. I mean, especially as you grow, I'm so glad to your point that I had her and Marion Banker. We were so different. In fact, Bill, when we started it, I remember taking my credit card to the Roosevelt Hotel. Some people may know it, near Grand Central in New York City. And I, you know, I saw others do events and, you know, you apply for the events, you get rejected, not because anything nefarious, just there's so many people. And I was like, I'm tired of this racket. I'm sure it can't be hard to do an event. It is. But the playbook's in front of us. I took my credit card, rented a room, got some catering, lights, camera, action. And she was so cautious, Bill, like, not sure if we're going to do this remote. Are you sure? But together, we made a great team because I needed in the years to come, I needed her caution. She saved us money. She made sure we didn't go into a hole of debt, you know? So her cautious approach was really good, but she needed me because she probably never would have started if I wouldn't have kicked her in the tush in a respectful way and had her start.
Like pulling each other up, right, is a fundamental thing that we need to do. And it's funny because I used to lead these multi-month workshops, right? I would meet every week. We do some intensives, things like that. And I would go on for like 4 months typically. And I noticed that I would have business partners. I would have life partners. I would friends, things like that. One of the worst pairs that I would have in any workshop was a romantic couple. Any romantic couple. And I noticed this phenomenon. And then I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, my wife and I do that sometimes for each other.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people do. What is it that we do? What's the move? Some of the first people to quit a program like that, to drop out or to skip a session, will be a husband and wife or a same-sex couple. Mm-hmm. A couple will often, like, as part of our like soothing and taking care of each other, some will say, I don't really feel like it tonight, honey. And the other will say, that's okay. Let's just stay home and watch TV. That's okay. Let's just order Chinese. And like that kind of thing that we do is not pushing each other to be our best self. It's providing the comfort, the escape for the partner. And we don't do that as much in like business partnerships. It's a unique phenomenon of family and some close friends and some romantic partners. Oh, it's okay. You're doing a lot. Like you could have this and I'm your partner in taking a break or getting away from things. And I noticed that like my wife and I do that sometimes for each other, probably more often than we do the opposite. But every now and then I'll be like wanting to sort of fake out on something. And my wife will be like, nuh-uh, like this is your moment. You step up. Like, okay, like they're counting on you. Like, let's go. This is not a moment to fake a sickness or
And we need, and like you said, I think you said, right, scaling up, pulling up, helping each other grow. So you're right. I mean, I think that partnership, to your point, like couples, instead of pulling each other down, the best we can do is pull each other up. Me and my wife are like that, 31 years of marriage. You know, when she's down and not feeling well, I wish I did it more. But my job and my responsibility, Bill, as you're saying, is to pull her up and help her in the same way. And I think as business partners, I don't have a direct business partner today in certain things I'm doing. I want one, but Marion Banker with building the event business, Jamie Frayer, another name I can call it. Jamie Frayer, I'll call her name, and she's quite alive and well, and we still work together. Mm-hmm. She helped me build smarthustle.com. I give her full credit. Sure, I was the brains behind it, the energy behind it, the face around it. But again, when I was stuck or when I was, she's like, Ramon, come on, let's go. Did you get that funnel done? Or did you get that market? Did you call that sponsor? And so she would be very helpful to that. So as I'm thinking back, Bill, thank you. You're taking me down a good memory lane. There's been a number of people in my life who helped me level up or scale up, as you said, for sure.
You know what? I think it's not like as a couple, we pull each other down. It's just like we provide an escape. We like, it's okay. We're like, it's not like, oh no, like, you know, we don't like, oh, you're not good enough to go to that thing tonight. It's kind of like, yeah, it's okay to come up a little short. Like, I forgive you. I love you anyway. Like, you know, and I think that's the phenomenon. Like, so a great partnership, right? You're going to push each other as much as you provide the comfort. So mm-hmm. comfort, but also like, you got this, you could do this, right? I think about, like, you know, I get paid to give advice and coaching and examples and help people work through things and whatever. But a huge amount of time is when, knowing somebody's situation, their challenge, I simply say, you know what? You got this. Mm. I've worked a lot of people like that were dumber than you. You could do this.
And Bill, I bet that's all they need. Sometimes they just need a pat on the back. I remember one of my bosses at, you may know Keep, formerly Infusionsoft. They were recently bought by Thrive some months ago. But one of my boss, Kathy Sachs, saying your name, Kathy Sachs, and she's quite well and thriving on LinkedIn and all those things. And one day, Bill, similar to kind of how you said, a different wording, but she said, Ramon, I don't have the answer, but I trust you'll figure it out. She was an executive. And when she said that, it lit, feelings of trust. Yeah. It made me feel amazing that she put that trust in me. So I love what you said, Bill.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I remember, so we have a 2-year-old granddaughter now. And my son's 28. And I remember, like, the first couple nights and the first little bit, like, he was just unbelievably, you know, exhausted, overwhelmed, like all that, kind of new dad. Mm-hmm. And he was quite beside himself, especially on the first night. And I'm like, listen, you want to remember this. You'll get this intellectually. Like, billions and billions and billions of people far less bright and far less resourced than you have dealt with this. You got this.
Right.
Just,
exactly.
Don't forget, you could do that. You don't know how yet, because you're doing something for the first time, but I promise you, this is going to be okay. Yeah. And just knowing that something is okay will give you the room to keep at it, to not quit, right? An enormous number of times, like, companies win because they simply refuse to quit.
That's right. That's exactly right. Persistence. And then
after everything else, then something showed up and they could lean into that opportunity of that moment, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of leaning into opportunities and moments, I think, talk about bringing personal, the CEO celebrity, your personal energy and presence to challenges like COVID and the work that you did producing virtual summits and bringing together. Yeah, I think that's a great thing to talk about, Dell, Salesforce, etc.
Yeah. No, thank you for that. Thank you for letting me recount that. You bring it back. Your research is impeccable, you and your team, Bill. I like this show. But I think I'll give the
GPT.
Yes. Okay. Well, okay. And that's even, I'm even more under. That's a whole other topic. Some people are afraid of it, but I've asked people more and more, hey, when you've invited me to speak, how did you hear it? And they said AI. So I'm happy that AI has indexed us, you know, and help us do that. But indeed. But what I would say, Bill, is that how I got the moniker celebrity CEO and things like this, people kept asking me. I've been blessed to, you know, we've all been blessed to do a few things and, you know, be, whether it's the White House or be in the Wall Street Journal, Fox Business, MSNBC, things like this that I've been a part of. And people said, Ramon, how did you do it? And it's about personal branding. And I believe I coined the term celebrity CEO, that, you know, everybody doesn't have to be Cardi B or President Trump or President Obama or President Biden, whoever you may want to be, but everybody can be the celebrity, can be well-known in their industry, to their niche, as you are, Bill, as I hope by God's grace I am to some degree. So that's the what that means, just to set that context of being the celebrity CEO. Doesn't have to mean wildly famous. And even somebody who is some people may know the name Seth Godin, you know, the kind of the father of modern day permission marketing. He reminded me, Ramon, I'm not known by most people in the world. Mr. Beast, with his 400 million followers, is not known by most people in the world. But the bottom line of this, what happened, this personal branding side, when COVID came about in 2020 and the world was metaphorically and literally shut down, Bill, I'm a speaker. I have to fly for a living for at least some of my income. And I'm like, what do I do? Because I'm not a coach. I don't do consulting per se. It's not the biggest part of what I do. I work with brands and I you know, speak and et cetera. So I'm like, what do I do? I'm praying. I'm talking to my wife. I'm like, but you know what? It's going to be okay. Cause I'm sure South by Southwest, this big event with thousands of people in Austin, Texas, that's not going away. Yeah. Maybe CES or whatever the big event was happening right after CES. I was like, I'm sure it's going to be okay. I refreshed the New York Times homepage, Bill. I won't forget it. I think it was on a Friday, May 2020 or March. I can't remember the dates, but it said South by Southwest, this big tech event is closed, it's canceled. Then I knew from my little sphere of the world was ending. If South by Southwest is canceled, it's big time. So bottom line, Bill, to cut to the chase, is that what I did was I went to those, going back to trust, the relationships I had, went back to Dell, Microsoft, Salesforce, those three companies, and I think one was AT&T as well. And I said, I'm doing an event. Doing an online event. This is still, even though it was 5 years ago, kind of to be, we all weren't online as much today as we were then. There's a hockey stick growth. And guess what, Bill? They had a need as well. What's that?
Yeah, 100%, right?
Yeah, they had a need as well. And that was to keep marketing and keep doing what they're doing. They still had budgets, but COVID changed how they're going to use it. And that really kind of fed my family, me doing one or two online summits called Survive and Thrive Summit at the time. And they paid some good money to sponsor it, and I was able to live. So that's the story of how I went with contacts, thought, quote unquote, outside the box, did something online, brought together thousands of people who still knew the brand Ramon Ray, right? Who knew the personal brand Ramon Ray, added value to them through sponsorships, and everybody was happy.
That's awesome. I think we all upped our game.
Yes.
And that's the value of a crisis, right? Like it challenges you, it pushes you to get uncomfortable, to innovate, to develop, to build a new strength, that kind of thing. I first got a better camera, and then this is like four cameras later. It's a nice camera, right? And now the camera is behind a teleprompter. So when I'm talking to people and zooming and things like that, I'm looking at good eye contact, right? And then the lights got better. So better lighting in the room and a better lens and then a better microphone and then an audio panel and a video switcher. And like all of those things started to get up. And then I started working on presence, right? Mm-hmm. So presence on stage and in person are all different things. Presence on the camera, like being able to project, connect with the person, like be at home. Right. And like be free. All of those things, you know, got leveled up. And hopefully most people, I still sort of surprises me today when I see somebody in there like backlit. If you like, did you not live through 2020?
Backlit me the green screen or backlit other, or like the lights.
Backlit, like you can't see their face because
they have
right window behind them. Like what's in a turnaround? Yes. Or put some lights on your face.
It's funny. I'm going to be living I'll be living in California for a few months as my daughters get ready to give birth. And I went, the place we're renting out. I did what you did. I looked and said, where's the window? Because I haven't been there. So you never know how it is in reality. But as I'm getting ready to just use a new space I'd never been in before, I'm like, okay, great. There's a big window there, which will leave plenty of light. So if I do things online or during the day, and then I'm like, I wonder, should I bring some lights or buy some for when I do stuff at night? So to your point, don't be backlit.
Oh, what a sweet. We rented 2 years ago, we rented a condo on the lake in Seattle, where our son was living when they had their baby. Right. And it was so great to go up there. And I had to create in this little studio place where I could broadcast from. And so I got a backdrop and then I just arranged the camera. I got a bookshelf backdrop because I have bookshelves there's real bookshelves in my office. Mm-hmm. I bought a sheet that was like and people were like, oh, I love your library. Like they like, yeah, no, that's just a picture.
Exactly. It's hard to tell. Mine's real too. But hey, if it's done well and done good lighting, it's all about the visual, all about the visual experience of how you make people feel in what you're doing.
It is. Yeah. I was sitting there like right between a wall and a bed and a thing. Yeah. And it was so jerry rigged. But, you know, we need to be there for 6 months or something.
That's right.
They were doing. Right. Oracle NetSuite.
Yeah.
That's now. Yeah.
That has finished, but that was an amazing opportunity just really for them to, you know, and this goes back to personal branding, Bill, as I know you know so well. These brands can't shake hands. Brands don't have a smile. Brands don't, you know, share with each other back and forth. But it was an honor to have about 6 months with them to be their entrepreneur in residence. And that's what we got to consider, Ramon. We want to be in the startup. We want to be in the entrepreneurial space. Can you represent us? And that goes back to telling business owners, whether you're a small business or a larger business, the power of influencer marketing, it does work. Because we're looking for people. Bill and I happen to represent our brands very aptly. But you're building a coffee company. You're building a whatever you're building. Don't forget you as the CEO to be that brand representative, or yes, as Oracle NetSuite engaged me to be their first entrepreneur in residence to say, Ramon, fly around the country, do post, get on video, and represent us to the small business community. So that was a good opportunity. I think that goes further again, this celebrity CEO brand that I've birthed and have. This is what it's about. I'm not known to hardly anybody, Bill. I have a new friend with Bill now, but I'm not known. I'm not Beyonce or LeBron. But in the small business space, in the entrepreneurship space, I would like to think that Bill and myself have some cachet. So that's what that was about. It was a pretty good ride, indeed.
A little bit of flavor, right? And a little bit of willingness to project it, right? I remember I had been a corporate speaker and a salesperson and an entrepreneur. I've been a lot of things. And I also know that I would often get sort of middle of the road, kind of middling scores and reviews and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I like didn't know what was wrong. And it felt like it wasn't getting any better. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I went and I did a workshop with a guy who is now the head of learning and whatever globally for the Gallup organization. And I remember the first day he walked to the front of the room, like it's Saturday morning. And he's like, hey, everybody. And he's like really like bringing it, you know? And it's like Saturday morning. I just want to have coffee. I'm like, why am I up so early? And I should be still in my pajamas or laying around the house or something. And he's like bringing it. And I noticed like, okay, there's generosity and performance happening here. Mm-hmm. And the sort of second insight came a little bit later, but it was like, okay, at some point I decided to be more boring because I thought I was being inappropriate. Like, you know, I tuned it way down in my corporate years to be more responsible or whatever. But it was not entertaining, engaging. And I noticed that like a huge amount of what he was doing was not just teaching, but was also entertaining, engaging. Mm-hmm. Like there was a magnet, and it was not, hey, look at me, I'm so awesome, like ego-centered. It was like in service of something and as a contribution. And it took me a lot longer to put that together. But in that moment, I got all that. Like, okay, this guy is generating something. It's engaging. He's turning it on. And it had a powerful influence and effect on me. Interestingly enough, my wife was in that same workshop. She was like, oh, yeah, the first time I saw him, I was really like, why is he being all like this?
People have said that to me before, Bill. Just, I mean, very few, not a lot, or I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. But I think you're right. And I think three things I'll say on that. I think one, nobody wants boring, but that doesn't mean you have to be silly or crazily inauthentically over the top. That's, you know, there's too much catch up, but I think we all want to have some level of engagement. It doesn't have to be entertaining per se, but it should be engaging. That's one. I think number two, also know your audience, Bill, you know, and I know you know that so well. I've been to places, very few, but one or two there, like Ramon. I just knew that the version of Ramon who I am and or how I show up for that performance, the audience didn't like. So I did, as you said, I tweaked it a little bit. I realized it wasn't for them. And then three, go where you're wanted. Maybe everybody doesn't want the version of Ramon who's Ramon. They may want Bill. And that's okay. The world's big enough for all of us, for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It takes me a long time to learn some lessons. Mm. But I've gone and delivered workshops in some countries and places where I was really well received, and other places where I thought I was welcomed and I was not. Like, and I remember I gave a workshop in Thailand. I actually gave a bunch of them there, but a keynote talk, and really, really well received. And I'm like, wow. And then I remember, and I did well in Malaysia, and I did, but then I went to Saudi Arabia and it was just terrible. They're like, oh. And I went in England, far outside of London. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, that's way too emotional. Actually, the mm-hmm. problem in both Saudi Arabia and in England was that I was too authentic, too emotional, too like mm-hmm. real with feelings, which, you know, they were like, ooh, let's not go there. They didn't go. But some places they like love you. And then other places I thought would be bad. Mm-hmm. I've given a whole bunch of talks and things in Utah. Right. And I walked to the front. I'm like, listen, I'm from California. And I know there's a church here that's pretty big, and it's a lot more conservative than me and where I come from. And like, and also some, you know, I come from pretty liberal kind of place. And then I go to some very conservative place. Mm-hmm. Like, listen, I'm kind of like this. I don't mean like, it's not personal. I know, like, you don't need to be like me. I'm just here to share with you. Please forgive the things that I say that like, please include it.
I think it was good, Bill, that you had the presence of mind, though, to recognize. I think that's precious, that you're able to recognize that, as you said, even politically, right? You have friends and both sides of the aisle, as I do. We can navigate multiple spaces. But the fact that you knew that, I'm guessing, I don't know how the story ended, but I'm guessing it was endearing, that maybe some people in there had a little chuckle because they respected that you knew where you were, but you were also just giving them not a warning label, but a kind of a gentle, friendly warning label. Hey, this is me. If I snort when I laugh, give me some grace. It's just me. That kind of thing, you know?
I would, yeah. And it's remarkable. I call it being responsible for the way that you are. So I'll walk to the front of the room, and the first time I'll drop an F-bomb, I'll be like, oh, hey, and I'll notice it, and I'm now sufficiently self-aware to say, when I get excited, I'm going to start swearing. It probably won't get to a Gary V level, but it's going to be something that some of you might be uncomfortable with. Yes. And I just want you to know, I'm not out to offend you. I know that it is me. Please forgive it, because I'm just being passionate, trying to like, please include it mm-hmm. and let it go. Because I can't, if I'm going to be like passionate, I'm not going to control it very well.
I love that.
And people are like, okay. You know, and I've been around some churchy people, and I know you're more churchy than me. And they're like, okay, like he was honest with us, and we know it's not coming. He's not trying to make me talk that way.
You know? And isn't that mutual respect, though? You know, Bill, I think there's some things that maybe you and I may have a hard stop. Ramon, this is a place I can't go. This is a joke I can't laugh at, or no, that's not cool with me. I think we all have something like that. But as you said, right. Taking religion into it a bit, listen, if I'm really who I am, Bill, I'm me. As I'd want him to respect me, if I say no, Bill, before I eat this meal, I gotta close my eyes. He shouldn't be angry. And if Bill says, Ramon, I'm not with it, I'm gonna keep my eyes open and dive in, I should be cool with that too. That's the human experience, which you should all respect for each other, in my opinion.
You know, it's an interesting thing that we get into, that like human experience, right? So somebody's saying a thing and whatever, and then they say, I've been in a lot of places, and I have family member who are part of different belief systems mm-hmm, and things mm-hmm. like that. And somebody will say, you know, and they'll say a prayer, and they'll say in Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I'm not a Christian, I'm a Jew. Right. So sometimes I'll just be like, thank you for that, you know, like in my mind. And other times I'll say amen. I'm not saying amen to Jesus as my whatever, right? Like, I'm saying amen to the sentiment of you being grateful. And
respect for them too, probably, to acknowledge them.
You and your thing, and like, acknowledge that. I'm not by that token becoming a Christian. I'm still a Jew. But like, fine. You know, and just as we welcome people to our, like, a Friday night dinner or a Passover meal or whatever, like, it's fine. Pray along, say whatever, like, respect and granting being to people for wherever they're at. Yeah.
Are you running for office, Bill? Are you? Is this really a show? Are you prepping? Is it the final show and you're running for office, really? Are you going to ask me to be your campaign manager, Bill? Is that what it is?
God, can you just imagine the discovery and the mistakes I've made in my life? That would not survive the scrutiny. Like, and nor could I stomach being in office the way, the pace of that. Like, there's something beautiful about being an entrepreneur in having the actual say, being the real decider.
Yes.
There's something nice about that. Now, true. Ultimately, the customer's the decider, but but like in politics, yeah, that's never going to be me.
I hear you. Just asking. Figured I'd ask.
The wrong thing every other word most of the time. So let's talk about takeaways. What are the lessons? How does somebody go and develop and build their voice, right? Sure. Well, before we run out of time here.
Yeah. Clearly we're having a good time. And thank you, Bill, again for having me. I appreciate you and your team so much. I think a few things to do. Talking to those who are just starting out, I'll frame it that way. I think one, it's important to acknowledge, Bill, as I know you know, that you want to leverage your personal brand, your face, your smile, your handshake, how you show up, your voice, you, not corporate logo, but you want to leverage you as an asset for the corporate brand. So one, acknowledge that. And then number two is the aspect of just show up. Do some of the things like Bill and I are doing. A podcast is a great way to do that. Doing a reel, leveraging the power of social media is a great way to do that. Don't forget to, or do you want to publish a book? Do you want to do your own event? Do you want to get some publicity and be on TV and et cetera? So those who are just starting out, I think it's acknowledging that you don't have to hide and that it's not about the corporate brand only, but that you have something to add to the corporate brand as your personal self, and that's what it means to leverage your personal brand and be the celebrity CEO of your industry.
You know, some of our people may already know this, but if you're wondering what your personal brand is or that kind of thing, it's often hard to look in the mirror and figure it out. But if you will ask other people, what do I stand for? What are my values? What's great about me? What's not so great? What's weird about me? Like, they will help you sort of discover what's authentic for you that you maybe don't notice. It's very hard to notice yourself, right? Right. They say it's hard to read the label from inside the jar. Right. Like, so some help in that. And then around podcasts and shows and speaking, right? Trying to create your own event is a lot harder than speaking at someone else's event. Trying to create your own show is a lot harder than going and being a guest on a show. So maybe walk before you run.
That's right. That's right. But those are the steps, you know, meaning as people are saying, hey, Ramon, I'm doing a show. Okay, great. Maybe you want to do an event. Hey, Ramon, I've done an event. Well, maybe you want to do a tour. Those kind of things.
Yeah. Like so, consistency is important in your world. I know you have a lot of personal like rigor say something about consistency. And then let's talk about the path. Like, what's the progression, right, of starting with just awareness and then moving up to full engagement?
Yeah. So one, about the consistency part, by God's grace, I'd like to think I'm consistent in my personal life. I do push-ups, stretches, a walkout. I drink Cafe Bustelo fruit and two pieces of butter toast every single morning in devotions and things of that nature. So my morning routine, I think, is one aspect of living a good life for me. And I'd like to think for many people may adhere to that. So that's one. And I think going back to this path, I think of what it means to really build a good personal brand. There's so many layers of it. But one thing I like to say is that one, get attention, build awareness. That's get attention of the right customer. That's number one. What am I? Hey, I'm here for you. I have a solution for you. Whatever that may want to be. You could be a daycare owner and you're every day waking up doing great information, great insights to young mothers that have new kids, or to granddads who are asked to keep the kids and looking for a respite, a relaxation during the day, whatever the demographic or psychographic may be. So one, Bill, and to the Bill's listeners here, the Scale Coaching Podcast, is the aspects of awareness. That's one. Get attention. As I talk about it, as you get attention, as you get awareness for your brand, for the right customer, that's important, the right customer. Number two, then, is to build trust. And trust often happens through consistent education. Every day saying the same thing, every day showing up, every day being there, they are again, there she is again, saying a similar or some version of that message again. So building trust, building a relationship, me and Bill here today on his show, it's about building trust. And then I'm a firm believer that sales will come. I'm not saying it has to come automatically. I do believe people should take some sales training. I think sales should be intentional. But as you build awareness, as you build trust, the sales is a natural byproduct of those two things for any entrepreneur.
That's really good, powerful, simple, clear things, right? Let's get some consistency around things, and then let's start to take the world, the audience, through that progression of things. And I love that the notion that trust is a big part of trust is consistency, right? If you're changing things all the time, people don't trust you in that area because they don't know where you're going next. You're not going to stick with that, right? I know I have a friend of a friend that's got a new idea every other day. And I'm like, God bless, he's such a good hearted human. And I'm like, yeah, this won't last.
And I got a lot of that in me, a little bit of that in me. I have so many things that are half baked and half done. And I think somebody called it the entrepreneur's dilemma, which is why I think many of us need people like you, Bill, to, you know, that's where, right? We talked earlier, going full circle to the team or partner, whatever you want to call it. Someone like a Bill who can help. Hey, that's great. Why don't we save this for next year? Save this for next quarter. Or guess what? Integrate that into your existing idea. So I think it's people like you that help people like me build better businesses.
It's because we need it, right? So my number one strength is ideation. And I generate a new idea every moment. And early in my life and career, I chased all of them, right? And I told other people about all of them. And now I'm like, oh yeah, that's an idea, right? And an idea really is just two things that seemed unrelated now come together. It's like a remix of something, right? And I like hear it. I'm in the shower. I'm getting coffee. I have another idea. I have another. And now at 60, I've learned to let most of them go.
I love that. Interesting
idea. That doesn't have anything to do with what I'm working on today. I just let that go. I don't need to even tell anybody. It's amusing to me. And then I let it go.
I love it. I'll be there in 8 years, Bill. So maybe I'll learn that skill in 8 years. We'll see.
Ramon Ray, celebrityceo.com. Sir. Thank you so much for coming on and talking with us and sharing a little bit of your wisdom and just that energy. Right? Love being on with someone who can bring a little energy in service of something as a gift, as a generous contribution to our listeners and viewers. Thank you all so much for listening, for watching. Thanks to Wanda. Thanks to Anna, who got our show ready and out the door. Wanda Mitchell, Anna Codina. Thanks to my friend and mentor, Vern Harnish, who created this whole scaling up mess that I'm a part of. And to all of you for watching, for listening. If you want more info, that kind of thing, go to scalingcoach.com. and find all of our back catalog, our workshops. We do something every month there. Hopefully we can help you with something. In the meantime, keep scaling. Talk to you next time. Are you ready to turn your goals into daily wins? You should check out our scoreboard software powered by Align. It's the official software for scaling up. With Scoreboard, you'll get an AI-driven coach for priorities and KPIs, and it'll help keep your team focused on what matters most. With Align, you can track your goals in real time, and you'll even see results on the go with their mobile app. You can rest easy knowing that Align has world-class onboarding and support to set your team up for success. This is really more than just software. It's what I actually use to manage growth in our scaling up client teams. Unlock clarity and results with Scoreboard by Align. To try it now, go to aligntoday.com/BillG. One more time, aligntoday.com/BillG. That's aligntoday.com/BillG. Check it out and try it now.